Campionato di calcio italiano. So, special additional bit to our to this week's episode. We're joined by Charlie Bostock, who's commercial manager here at Harry Brown London, and massive Tottenham fan as well.
Big Spurs fan, yeah.
Just talking about your first ever Spurs shirts, which was a pony shirt, and you could have been an Arsenal fan. I was an Arsenal fan as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah. When I was, I think first Spurs match was I was about 7 years old, yeah. And Arsenal were a much better side than Spurs at this time, so I think I was an Arsenal, a United fan for about 6 weeks because my neighbour was a United fan, and I was an Arsenal fan for about 6 months, and then my dad took me to my first football match, which was a Spurs match. As I said to you guys before, it was a 1-1 draw with Barnsley in the pouring rain.
That was the moment. And then you saw that 1-1 draw with Barnsley and you thought, yeah, I love it. Yeah, you know,
this is for me.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah, I think that was Arsenal. Kind of it.
Yeah, okay, well, brave choice. And we want to talk to you a bit about sort of how football has influenced fashion and the world in which you work as well. And we were talking earlier about how sort of this big evolution from sort of football fashion, and certainly what the players were wearing in the 90s to today. I just wondered how you know, how that sort of impacted on the job you do, and the kind of the way that the sort of the suits and style that people want now as a result of that kind of influence of football. Is that something you've noticed?
Yeah, I mean, it's massive. We always kind of, you know, there's the thing about men in fashion, it's, you know, it's only a small majority of men that actually really kind of focus on their appearance and the way they look. I think over the past 10 years, you've seen that kind of massively shoot through the roof, and it's grown. You know, guys are going into the gym, they're taking much more kind of care in their appearance. And I think it's actually a lot more in line with football, as you assume. I mean, if you watch the Sunday supplement, you watch the kind of all the kickoffs, you know, you look at what they were wearing 10 years ago compared to now, and you get that kind of that average Joe at home sitting there watching the likes of, you know, Carragher, Neville, Souness, all talking about the football, wearing suiting, wearing tailoring, and the lapels are going wider. They're just a little bit more focused on top of it. And that guy there sitting at home, you know, if they see, you know, if they look at one of the catwalks, they think, well, that can never be me. I can't pull that off. But they sit there watching, you know, Rio Ferdinand pull off a wide lapel DB suit. All of a sudden it goes, I can do that. And you start to see it slowly kind of come through.
It's a really good point. I was watching Gary Neville's first ever appearance on Monday Night Football the other day.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it actually makes me shudder thinking about it. When he does that interview with Mancini.
So bad.
And it's like, he just can't speak properly and he can't stand still. But the suit he's wearing is awful. I know, I know it was what, I don't know, what, like 10 years ago? A bit longer maybe?
Maybe a little longer now,
It's awful, ill-fitting suit. And also Carragher as well, when he started out, wasn't brilliantly dressed. And now you look at, I mean, Neville maybe slightly less so. Carragher looks sharp, doesn't he?
Oh, big time. I mean, they've all got, they've all had a bit of help on the way.
I
see, believe it or not, it may have come from their, you know, their partners, their wives, rather than anybody from outside of the industry. It's a massive point. And like I said, you know, Carragher and Neville, they are great examples of your average Joe. You know, they would never go to London Fashion Week, have a little walk around and say, you know, I can wear this, I can wear that. What they are probably doing, they're sitting there watching the other footballers slowly move into a more fashionable lifestyle, and they're thinking, you know what, I can do that. And it's always a massive thing, you know, if you look good, you feel good. And I think it's managers, because, you know, footballers, they wear a football kit, they can't be as creative apart from sometimes what they do with their hair. But managers get the opportunity to do that. And I think you're on the training pitch in tracksuits Monday to Friday. You know, it's on a Saturday, big occasion, big game, dress for it. You know, growing up, a lot of my friends had trades, and on a Friday night, they'd take off their, you know, take off their overalls, put a suit on for the night ahead. And, you know, something special, something a bit more to do. So I think that's what we're seeing.
Who are the footballers who are getting it right, do you think, at the moment? Or not just footballers, people associated in the industry.
Footballers, they're getting it right. So a lot of the, a lot of the big brands are taken on football teams. I think there was something recently with Tom Brown, a bit of a collaboration with Barcelona. And if you know Tom Brown, it's a very diverse brand. You know, a lot of their, a lot of their styling is very, very feminine. And it's quite interesting to see the Barcelona team, some of the guys that you wouldn't put in any of those outfits, suddenly get dressed up in them. I think Messi's a quite a big one, mm-hmm. and he really kind of worked well with it. But I mean, you've got your average, you know, Pep. It's always an easy one there. You know, always dresses quite well. Scott Parker's a very, very good dresser. Ten Hag as well. I think obviously being a Spurs fan, you've got Conte, very Italian, navy and black the whole way through. Yeah,
he really does.
Now his hair's grown back.
Yes, mysteriously. You see quite a lot of it. I think, I think Salah did the cover of GQ. Looked fantastic. Where he had the football boots tied over his neck. Yeah. That was great. You've got Rashford as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a massive part of football. You know, I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, maybe even longer, you've seen the interviews with Merson Gascoigne. After football, they go and hit the pubs, hit the clubs, where now it's very much they don't do that. Their lifestyles have changed. So their hobbies are very different.
Yeah.
And a lot of the hobbies are, you know, it is fashion. Mm. I mean, Dele Alli, he kind of built a fashion, helped, you know, with the fashion brand, and went downhill from there. So it's how much you actually put into it. So
well, it's interesting you say that, isn't it? Because if you think of the big ones that jump out for me, if you think of fashion, would be when Calvert-Lewin and Davis went to New York Fashion Week and were just on the front of everything because every day their outfits just got wilder and wilder and wilder.
Like there's no apology for it.
No, well, not at all. And they look amazing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that there's less kind of concern around players around the masculinity element.
Yeah.
Mm. But you don't have to worry about that because it's much more socially acceptable, is probably not the right term, but like people don't really bat an eye about that. If you want to wear that because you like it, then who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is where it should be. But I guess that's a real marker in the ground, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, massive. And I think it's going to help with the evolution of football as well. Mm. You're so right. You know, 15 years ago, you wouldn't be seen in some of these brands and some of the collections they put together is very feminine, and you wouldn't see any kind of sports person, let alone footballer, wear that product. And maybe that has something to do with kind of the homosexuality within football, people not wanting to come out because it still has that very heavily kind of masculine vibe attached to it. But I think these players going out there and being involved with fashion, it does massively help people that are kind of suffering from that comes from big time.
Rightly or wrongly, whether that should even need to be broken really, but it's the way it is.
Yeah, but it's a fantastic for the actual sport and for people out there.
And what about players that are getting it wrong? I should say, we talked about this earlier. We were saying Messi and Ronaldo, horrendous.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, Ronaldo particularly, just.
When you look like that, to be honest, you can get away with it, can't you? That's the difference.
Yeah.
I could fit into the suit they offered me
earlier. So I'm just wearing the pants.
Fair enough. But like Messi though, like every Ballon d'Or suit he ever wore was always very dubious, wasn't it?
That, which is interesting, you know, with the collaboration with Tom Brown, with a bit of guidance and with a bit of advice, he actually looked fantastic. But you're right, it's I think the size he is as well. Yeah. If you are on the shorter side, if you are wearing anything that's a little bit oversized, sometimes it almost looks like you're wearing your dad's clothes a little bit. It's how it's dressed. But I think it could be a statement in terms of football. You know, it could be, actually, I'm so good at football, I don't need this. And that's where it is.
Oh, I'd probably agree with that, actually. Who cares on Messi, though?
It's absolutely right, yeah. Football's obviously become very popular, very fashionable, last, 5-10 years now, maybe, is it?
More than ever.
Is that noticeable in your industry as well? Is that like a really, I suppose we've sort of asked this question already, but is it like that influence and that thing that's now much more prominent in the way the fashion industry works?
100%.
Yeah.
It's a lot more mainstream. So as we said, you know, some of the big brands, especially in menswear, if you are pushing the boundaries in menswear, there may have only been a 2%, 3% audience you could have approached to.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, because you're seeing more people on TV, more people that are kind of, you think, I can do that, wearing the product, all of a sudden the audience starts to grow.
Yeah,
so I think over the next few years, you'll start to see some of the more contemporary brands, you'll start to see them really grow through. And it's, you know, you've all got your super brands with loads of with all of the branding, and that's easy. You know, anybody can go out there, go to one of the stores on Bond Street and buy a branded tracksuit and wear that. You know, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but it's easy.
Yeah, it's done.
I think people that really, really get it right are the people that can go to three or four different stores, not have to worry about how much they spend, put a fantastic outfit together and pull it off.
Okay, finally, before we let you go, best ever Spurs shirt. Most stylish Spurs shirt.
Most stylish Spurs
ever.
I'll give you two. I'll give you the best ever shirt, Spurs shirt, and the most stylish Spurs shirt. So in terms, I used to play in goal when I played football. And
you're quite a good goalie.
I was okay. Yeah, I wasn't too bad. And
like Mercer, good goalie.
Patrick Keelty, me and Vim got a rivalry that he doesn't know about. So
you've got to be a different kind of person to be a goalkeeper. I think something's a little bit wrong with your head. So do you remember the green Casey Keller? With the high neck.
So nice.
So I think I had that, and it was just unreal. And anybody, you know, you'd get a pinch, and that would be it. Yeah. And I think, funnily enough, when I did a tour of Spurs, when they changed their kit, and they implied that part of the reason of changing it was Kappa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think part of the reason was changing it was it was when football was going through that stage where, you know, you couldn't pull, it was kind of getting fouls for everything. Yeah. They suggested that these skin tight kits, if anybody was ever pulling away from you, you know, you get a little pull all of a sudden. If you're wearing something loose and baggy, if someone gives you a little nudge, you can't see it. But on those, you get a pull, it looked 10 times worse than you get through that.
Yeah.
So they said that was part of the reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
Whether or not the guys just wanted to show a bit of muscle in terms of that was it. Yeah. And in terms of most stylish kit, Holston, Hoddle, the old school one.
Yeah.
I think anything along that era is fantastic.
Yeah. The Hummel shirt. You mean?
Yes.
So nice.
That is, you're right. That is the best. It's got the best shirt.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of an East London Shoreditch look now with the oversized t-shirt and the short shorts. And I think if you go back to that era, I think you'll probably see those guys with the kind of the looser baggier t-shirts and then these tiny little shorts, like they've got nothing on underneath,
and like no shin pads as well. Low socks and
it just makes me think of that goal. I think it was his last goal for Tottenham. Was it against Oxford or something? Lane, where he drew two players and
so good.
He just looks amazing, doesn't he? He had huge bloody legs as well, and huge thighs, and he looks good. But it was good.
I think that was the thing with the low shin pads. It was almost come and get me defenders, wasn't it? It was come and throw a kick at me. I'm too quick. I can move around. That was it. But no, that's got to be the most fashionable shirt. Spurs shirt. I
absolutely agree with that. Good choices. Not often people go for a goalie shirt.
No.
No, it's
I like that. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, brilliant. Nice one. Cheers, Joe. That was great.
No problem. Thanks, guys.